Good afternoon. My name is Marissa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Sequel Communications fourth quarter conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Mary Meduski, Chief Financial Officer of Sequel Communications. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. We welcome you to this discussion of the fourth quarter and full year 2009 results for Sequel Communications Holdings I, LLC, and its subsidiaries, which do business as Suddenlink Communications. Before we get started this morning, we would like to remind you that certain statements made during this conference call might be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Act of 1995. Those statements are subject to various risks and uncertainties described in our annual report, which is posted to our website. These risks and uncertainties could cause actual future results to differ materially from the results expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements we make on this call. The information we discuss today is based on our annual report and quarterly earnings release for the period ended December 31, 2009. Both the annual report and earnings release have been posted to the investor relations web section of our website at suddenlink.com. The release compares actual and pro forma financial and operating results for the fourth quarter and full years of 2008 and 2009. We will focus our comments today on year-over-year pro forma results for the fourth quarter. With that, I'll now turn the call over to our CEO, Jerry Kent.
Thanks, Mary. Hello, everyone. Very pleased to report that in the face of a challenging economic environment, we remain in outstanding financial condition as evidenced by our strong balance sheet and continued positive operating performance. We generated nearly $89 million of free cash flow last year, as defined in the earnings release posted on our website. We continue to delever. As defined by the indenture governing the high-yield debt offering we completed in November, total leverage was at 5.4 times EBITDA at December 31st. Net of all cash, our leverage was 5.0 times EBITDA at December 31st. We had approximately $257 million of cash and cash equivalents on hand at December 31st, with no current plans to draw on our $200 million revolver. The fourth quarter of 2009 represented our 13th consecutive quarter of pro forma revenue growth, with approximately $398 million in total revenue, an increase of 5.9% over the year-ago period. For the full year, revenue was approximately $1.565 billion, up 7.5% over the year-ago period. Fourth quarter adjusted EBITDA was approximately $151 million, which was a 9.1% increase over the year-ago period. For the full year, adjusted EBITDA was $561 million, an increase of 11.8% over the year-ago period. Revenue-generating units, or RGUs, increased by nearly 44,000 during the fourth quarter to more than 2.8 million. Our RGU net gain in the fourth quarter of 2009 was 21% greater than our net gain during the fourth quarter of 2008. In total, we gained nearly 186,000 RGUs in 2009, an increase of 7.1% since the end of 2008. Now, while we're generally pleased with this performance given the economic environment, I must admit that I believe we can do a better job of responding to significant discounting by our satellite and telephone competitors. As I've mentioned in prior calls, we constantly review our competitive strategy in balancing the mix of market share versus maximizing ARPU. In the fourth quarter, we were late in responding to heavy satellite discounting, which had an impact on our basic customer results. While our basic results were in line with our peers, I expect superior performance, and we are laser-focused on showing better results in 2010. Historically, we've discounted our internet and phone services as a second and third elements of our bundle while maintaining a robust video price. In the face of current satellite pricing, we have shifted some bundled discounts to our video product to advertise lower price points. The good news is that fourth quarter year-over-year ARPU grew a healthy 8.5% and 9.8% excluding ad sales, evidencing our ability to maintain discipline in the combined pricing of our services. Total ARPU grew to over $106 in the fourth quarter. We did successfully implement video rate increases near year-end, and this also impacted us, with most of our fourth quarter basic losses occurring in the month of December. Throughout 2009, we made considerable progress in bundling customers. In addition to driving units and average revenue per unit or ARPU, bundled customers are less susceptible to competitive offers and churn. In total, we added more than 20,000 bundled customers in the fourth quarter of 2009 and nearly 77,000 during the year. As a result, bundled customers represented more than 54% of all customer relationships at December 31, 2009, up from approximately 48% at December 31, 2008. This growth in bundled customers was largely attributable to growth in triple play customer relationships, which represented 16.6% of all customer relationships at December 31, 2009, up from 11.1% a year earlier. We remain intensely focused on qualifying our customers with improved credit scoring and requiring deposits where necessary. We believe those actions have generated favorable results in our bad debt experience, with bad debt and collections expense as a percent of revenue down considerably from 1.8% in the fourth quarter of 2008 to 1.6% in the fourth quarter of 2009. In fact, bad debt and collections expense decreased more than $300,000 in the fourth quarter of 2009. Versus the fourth quarter of 2008, and it was down more than $2 million for the full year 2009 versus 2008. This achievement is especially notable when you consider that we grew revenues by more than $100 million year over year. Now, while these actions have an impact on our Connect activity, we believe in the long run it reduces churn and bad debt expense and improves profitability. We are committed to avoiding the chase return. I want to take this opportunity to inform you that in the future, we will make a concerted effort to report our quarterly results earlier in the cycle. Our goal is to give you better real-time reporting of our operations. Since we currently are late in the first quarter, let me give you a quick look at our initial 2010 performance. We're very encouraged by the growth we see in all RGU categories. Even though the first quarter of 2009 was favorably impacted by the digital transition, we expect first quarter overall RGU growth in 2010 to compare very favorably to the first quarter of 2009. In addition, we are beginning to see a rebound in our advertising sales. In short, we are off to a very good start for the year. We are nearing the completion of the first phase of our bandwidth investment plan, which we call Project Imagine. This plan was facilitated by the October 22nd approval of an amendment to our first lien credit facility and the $600 million debt offering, which closed on November 4th, 2009. Project Imagine calls for approximately $230 million of infrastructure investments through 2012, above and beyond our traditional capital spending levels. We estimate these additional infrastructure investments could drive up to $120 million more in success-based capital through 2012, namely for advanced digital set-top boxes. Altogether, these investments are designed to enhance our competitive position, increasing the quantity and quality of advanced services available to substantially all of our customers when completed. Those advanced services include all digital TV lineups, video on demand, the capability for up to 200 high-definition channels, and DOCSIS 3.0 technology, which will enable Internet download speeds of 20, 50, and more than 100 megabits per second. The first phase of this project was initiated late last year and is on track to conclude shortly. In this phase, in many systems, we've added significantly more high-definition channels, increased internet speeds for our customers without raising prices, and have launched video on demand. The ultimate goal of Project Imagine is to further improve the experience customers have with Suddenlink, and our internal surveys indicate that we continue to make progress in this area with continued higher customer satisfaction scores in the most recent period. I now turn the floor over to Tom McMillan, our Chief Operating Officer, to provide additional perspective on Project Imagine and our operating results for the fourth quarter 2009. Tom.
Great. Thanks, Jerry. I'd now like to drill down into some of the operating results that Jerry touched on. Looking specifically at operational results in the fourth quarter, in doing so, I will use the pro forma numbers included in the earnings release. On that basis, as Jerry noted, we ended the quarter with more than 2.8 million revenue-generating units, up nearly 44,000 units over the end of the third quarter, and nearly 186,000 RGUs, or 7.1% in the trailing 12 months. On basic video, we ended the quarter with approximately 1.24 million customers. That mark is down 2.8% in the trailing 12 months. Basic penetration of estimated homes passed at December 31 was 46.9%. On digital video, we ended the quarter with more than 545,000 customers. That's up more than 14,000 units in the quarter and nearly 49,000 units, or 9.9%, in the trailing 12 months. Digital penetration of basic video customers at the end of the quarter was 44%. Up from 38.9% a year ago. Along with our growth in digital video, we added more than 12,200 digital video recorder or DVR customers during the fourth quarter and nearly 48,300 over the last 12 months, an annual growth rate of nearly 23%. DVR penetration of digital customers grew to 47.7%, up from 42.6% a year ago. Looking at the high definition or HD category, we've added approximately 47,800 HD customers since the fourth quarter 2008, bringing HD penetration of digital customers to 47.1%, up from 42.1% a year ago. Total penetration of advanced digital services, both DVR and HD customers, stood at 51.2% of digital customers at the end of the fourth quarter 2009, up from 46.4% at the end of 2008. On high-speed internet, we finished the quarter with more than 749,000 residential customers, up nearly 18,000 units during the quarter and 75,000 units, or 11.1%, since December 2008. As a result, residential data penetration was 29.2% of estimated data homes passed, up from 26.6% a year ago. On telephony, we finished the quarter with more than 280,000 residential customers, up more than 27,000 units during the quarter and nearly 98,000 units, or 53.5%, since the year-ago period. As a result, residential telephony penetration at December 31 was 13.4% of estimated telephony homes passed, compared to 9% a year ago. In addition to our progress with residential phone, December was our best month ever for adding business class phone subscribers. During the fourth quarter alone, we added more than 1,400 commercial phone customers, up 37.5% from the third quarter. With respect to bundled customers, as Jerry noted, we added more than 20,000 in the fourth quarter, and as of December 31, 54.1% took a bundle from us, up from 47.7% a year ago. The pace at which we added bundled customers actually accelerated in the fourth quarter of 2009 versus the same quarter in 2008. The current penetration of bundled customers represents nearly 682,000 total customer relationships, up 12.6% since December 2008, with triple play customers having grown 49.2% during that period. Let's now look at ARPU, or average revenue per unit, in the fourth quarter. As Jerry mentioned, total ARPU was $106.19, up 8.5% or $8.31 over the year-ago period. Video ARPU was $54.44, up 4.3% over the year-ago period. This increase is attributable to customer rate increases coupled with higher penetration of digital and advanced services. Data ARPU is $32.53, down 1.9% versus the year-ago period. Telephony ARPU was $31.01, down 15% versus the year-ago period. The year-over-year declines in these ARPU categories were largely the result of bundling and package discounted, as Jerry noted earlier. Triple Play monthly ARPU remained in excess of $130, and monthly churn of Triple Play customers once again continues to be lower than single-product customer churn. I want to comment briefly on Project Imagine. We're very excited about this three-year initiative, which is now nearing the completion of its first phase, as Jerry mentioned. When all phases are complete in 2012, this plan will help reshape our company for the future and further improve customers' experiences with Suddenlink. Specifically, to date, our Phase 1 Project Imagine investments allowed us to boost Internet speeds for nearly 600,000 Internet customers in more than 50 cable systems, deploy DOCSIS 3.0 technology to 60% of our customer base, add more than 600 HD services across multiple markets, and launch VOD to more than 60% of our customer base. As a reminder, Project Imagine is a three-year initiative intended to bring more video, internet, and telephone service to our customers. Upon completion, we should average approximately 90 HD channels with HD availability to approximately 97% of our customer base. And we should have VOD service, telephone service, and DOCSIS 3.0 technology deployed to approximately 90% of our customers. Additionally, we should have excess capacity in a majority of our network to allow for up to 200 HD channels and or other services we may provide to our customers at such time. Beyond Project Imagine, we also made progress in the fourth quarter on other product launches. For instance, we continued to introduce home security service in more of our markets, and our wireless home networking product, Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home, was introduced in the majority of our markets. This product in particular has been selling quite well, with approximately 8,000 net customer adds in the fourth quarter of 2009. Finally, in an effort to focus greater sales attention towards the 1.3 million homes we pass and do not have a relationship with, we are in the process of building a door-to-door sales team focused mainly on these non-customer homes. As you may know, several of our peers have had great sales success with this channel, particularly in gaining new customers. Our plans call for nearly 100 sales agents to be knocking doors later this year. While still very early in this process, we are making good progress in building the team and are having reasonable success in gaining new customer relationships. Thank you for your time this morning. I'd now like to turn things over to our CFO, Mary Medusky, for a closer look at our financial results during the quarter. Mary?
Thanks, Tom. Today I will discuss the financial results for Sequel Communications Holdings One, LLC, and subsidiaries for the fourth quarter of 2009, adding to what Jerry and Tom have already provided. I will also discuss our balance sheet and liquidity position. As Jerry and Tom did, I'll focus my comments on pro forma fourth quarter year-over-year results, drawing on our annual report and earnings release. Our annual report is available on our website. For the bank lenders listening to this call, our bank lender package, which covers Sequel Communications LLC and subsidiaries, has been posted to Intralinks, including a copy of our compliance certificate. As we expected, we were in compliance with all of our bank covenants at December 31, 2009, all with significant cushions. The pro forma information we discussed today excludes the impact of the disposition during 2008 of three small non-strategic cable systems and includes the acquisition of Coast Street Communications, which closed October 15, 2008, as if those transactions had been consummated on January 1, 2008. Coast Street, as you may recall, is a non-facilities-based service company that sells bandwidth to larger telecommunications providers. On October 22nd, we received requisite lender approval for an amendment to our first lien credit facility to, among other things, facilitate our investment in Project Imagine, and permit the incurrence of new senior unsecured debt at the operating company. On November 4th, we issued $600 million of senior notes due 2017. These notes bear interest at 8.625% and were sold at a discount to yield an effective interest rate of 8.875%. We used the net proceeds of this transaction plus cash on hand to prepay $300 million outstanding under our first lien credit facility, prepay $300 million outstanding under Tranche B of our second lien credit facility, and pay associated fees and expenses. The February 2009 amendment to our first and second lien credit agreements, which allowed the company to retire outstanding indebtedness via a Dutch auction process through February 2010, has expired without the company electing to conduct any such auctions. At December 31st, our total funded debt outstanding was approximately $3.06 billion, comprised of $600 million of 8.625% senior notes, $1.97 billion of first lien term loans, $487 million of second lien term loans, and $3.6 million of capital leases. We had a $200 million undrawn revolver fully available except for $12.1 million of outstanding letters of credit. At December 31, we had approximately $257 million of cash on hand. We had interest rate hedges in place covering $2.43 billion, or substantially all of our funded bank debt. The weighted average duration of our hedge portfolio was approximately 2.3 years at 12/31/2009. Our weighted average cost of funded debt, including the senior notes, is approximately 8.1%. Now for a few comments on our fourth quarter financial results, pro forma for acquisitions and divestitures. As Jerry mentioned, total revenue for the fourth quarter of 2009 was $398 million, representing growth of 5.9%, or $22.2 million, over the fourth quarter of 2008. Video revenue increased 1.8% over the fourth quarter of 2008, due primarily to customer growth in digital video and advanced video services, as well as basic video rate increases, offset in part by a lower number of basic video customers. High-speed internet revenues increased 8.1% over the year-ago period due to an increase of 75,000 residential high-speed internet customers during 2009 and growth in our commercial high-speed internet services for small and medium-sized businesses. Telephone revenue increased 36.1% from the year-ago period, primarily due to the increase of 97,700 residential telephone customers during 2009, as well as growth in our business class phone product. Advertising revenue decreased 14.9% versus the fourth quarter 2008, largely due to sharp decreases in local and national advertising, especially in the automotive industry, and the absence of significant political advertising last year. Other revenue increased 16.4% over the year-ago period, due primarily to increased converter rental charges for HDTV and DVR digital converters, plus broadcast retransmission fees, which were collected for the first time in the first quarter of 2009. Operating costs and expenses rose 4% versus the fourth quarter of 2008, primarily due to higher programming costs, increased broadcast retransmission expenses, and increased telephone service costs, offset in part by lower marketing expenses and lower circuit expenses. As a result, adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter 2009 was $150.8 million, an increase of 9.1% from the same quarter last year, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 37.9%, an increase of 110 basis points. Net loss was $19.1 million for the fourth quarter 2009, compared to a net loss of $2.2 million for the fourth quarter 2008. This increase in net loss is primarily attributable to losses on the extinguishment of debt and the termination of interest rate swap contracts associated with our November 2009 financing activities. Full year 2009 capital expenditures were approximately $247.4 million, slightly below our prior estimate of $250 million. Of our total 2009 CapEx, approximately $35 million was for Project Imagine, all of which was spent in the fourth quarter 2009. We continue to expect capital expenditures for 2010 will be between $330 and $335 million, inclusive of Project Imagine capital. As Jerry mentioned, the company was free cash flow positive for the fourth quarter and full year 2009, and we expect to be free cash flow positive for the full year 2010. With this, I'll conclude my comments and turn the call back over to the operator to facilitate questions. I would like to remind everyone that this is a public call, and we will generally refrain from discussing information other than what was disclosed in our earnings release or annual report. Operator?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Jason Kim with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, thanks very much for taking the questions. There's increasing chatter about industry consolidation, and maybe this is a question for Jerry. And according to press reports, there are even some auctions going on involving some smaller cable operators. And what are your thoughts on M&A? Has anything changed from your perspective, even comparing to, let's say, just 4 to 5 months ago, given the continued strength in capital markets? And I have a couple of follow-ups.
Yes, we've seen a couple of smaller properties come on the market. We are hearing that others are lined up behind them, and so we would expect to see additional M&A activity across the industry from what we see in 2010 versus prior years. And as you suggest, I think part of that is a better financing environment, and so we do see some continued industry consolidation. With respect to our position, we have worked very hard over the past several years. As you know, we've delevered by almost two full turns of EBITDA, and we want to continue that progress. We will look at some acquisitions, but we are not going to be in a position to stretch strategically nor stretch our balance sheet in order to reach for growth's sake.
Good, thanks. And the cash balance of $257 million as of the year end, so what are your uses of that money going forward? And I guess related to that, any comments on further refinancing activities will be helpful.
Working capital was a greater source of cash in 2009 than maybe we originally expected. A lot of that was timing driven, of course, based on the difference of payables, deposits, accrued expenses in 2009 versus year-end 2008. So our cash balance of 257 at year-end is somewhat lower today in the 230 range. In terms of what we'll do with that cash, we, as I mentioned on the call, we expect to be free cash flow positive. We enjoy having the flexibility of a cash position. We've enjoyed a cash position all the years we've operated Suddenlink, and we don't have any particular use for those funds earmarked today.
Ed, thanks. And the one last question, have you seen any changes in the promotional stance from satellite operators recently, particularly from Dish?
I would say that they really got on a discounting kick the middle spring to the middle part of last year, and from all that we can tell, that's generally continued. Just at a personal level, in terms of what I experience on television, I would say that some of their advertising has moved away from price points to other things, particularly some of their battles with DirecTV. But I would say that, competition continues and low optical price points are still in the marketplace today.
It feels as if, though, we saw intensely competitive discount pricing in Q4 in particular, along with a substantial amount of marketing dollars expended towards promoting those discounts. It feels as if in the first quarter we don't quite see the same level of discounting nor the same level of marketing activity.
And they, too, have raised their rates. Their rates in the first quarter.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Your next question comes from the line of Bob Krychev with Credit Suisse.
Hi. I was wondering if you could just give us a little bit more detail on some of the ads that you've been getting for some of the double and triple plays. You know, just looking at the numbers, and I know it's not a pure math, it looks like some of the double and triple plays that you guys are adding could be coming, you know, directly from the existing base. I was wondering if you could kind of give us an idea how much is coming from existing guys versus new guys you're signing up. And second of all, are some of the double and triple play guys that you're adding, as you're adding some of these new services, coming from areas that have been and markets that have been recently upgraded, or they've been coming from markets that have, you know, been upgraded for a while and you're just starting to win them over? And then finally, just a quick bookkeeping question. Jerry, I know you mentioned some about some success-based spending in the CapEx, which could shift the CapEx. But is that 330 to 335 guidance that you gave for CapEx, is that still including about 88 for the Project Imagine, which
yeah,
I think was the...
Right. So I'll answer the last question first. Tom's recording the questions here. But the 330 to 335 guidance includes our expectation for Project Imagine infrastructure, which is in the $88 million range. It also includes certain success-based capital. As we are successful with Project Imagine, we will drive additional digital growth, for example, and that will drive additional HD DVRs, as an example, and that's included in the 330 to 335 number as well.
Okay, great. And on the subscriber addition question?
Right. So we finished the quarter with about almost 17% triple play penetration. And I would say our triple play sell-in rate approximates that to slightly exceeds it. So we're getting an equal balance of customers into both double and triple play categories through upgrades, as we are through sell-in rates on new customers.
Okay. And have you noticed any difference in the growth on double and triple plays in sort of markets that have been recently upgraded versus guys that have kind of been fully upgraded for some time to come? Or doesn't that really make that big a difference in how you're marketing?
I would say at this point our biggest product difference has been in our digital category. And so we're significantly outperforming prior periods, and that momentum is continuing. And I would say that that's probably a result of VOD launches and the fact that we have, you know, upwards of 5,000 titles now on VOD, and we've added a meaningful number of HD channels as well. So that's really helped out from a digital standpoint. But in terms of where our customers are coming from, we're clearly at the early stages of Project Imagine, and the things that we have done with Project Imagine on balance have touched many of our properties. So not a terribly meaningful difference between this type of property and another type of property. I will say that those markets, the small percentage of markets that have not been upgraded, so to speak, or are a little bit product challenged, continue to drive a disproportionate number of our basic video loss. And that's consistent with as we've reported on each of our calls.
Okay, if I can throw a tack on here, what sort of the pickup you're seeing typically in ARPU when a customer comes on as a digital from a basic customer to a digital?
You're probably getting anywhere from $10 to $15 of revenue lift.
And that's including VOD purchases and everything?
VOD doesn't really add much to it. Over 90% of viewing on VOD is free content. So it's mostly, charge for the digital box and then additional digital tiers.
Okay. Great. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Ostrowski with MetLife.
Hi, guys. Congratulations on the strong quarter. I have two questions. First, have you made any decision about the redemption of preferred shares?
We have continued to refrain and have no current plans to redeem the preferred shares. We obviously have the ability to do so, but right now we have no plans to redeem them.
Okay, and the second one, just follow up on M&A activities. So I assume you don't have any interest in breast non-communication assets. Is this right?
We are going to refrain from commenting on specific properties that may or may not be available. Let me just reiterate, you know, to the extent that we would look at acquisitions, we are going to remain very cognizant of what we've built in terms of a strong balance sheet, that we've been deleveraging, and that we are not going to stretch our neck out and risk this company to reach for a major acquisition that would, you know, cause undue risk for the company.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Spielman with PPM America.
Thank you. Just kind of tacking on, I think Bob had asked a little bit about the bundled customer trends. You know, obviously gaining a lot of bundled customers, losing a lot of single play customers. But within the bundle, it looks like, I mean, triple play is growing very briskly and double play barely at all, at least in the last quarter. How do you think about that? I mean, I would think that double play would be doing better.
No, I mean, obviously, you're drawing, to Bob's question, you're drawing some people from two-play to three-play. So that's taking people in a positive way out of that bucket. And then, you know, clearly moving those from one up to two when we're just talking about existing customers. Our double-play sell-in rate, you know, on new customers remains consistent, you know, with what our overall rates are. So you might compare that to some of our peers and take a look at what their double play activity is looking like. Ours may actually be performing better than some or most.
Yeah, moving from as Tom suggested, I mean, moving from a double to a triple is actually a minus one in the number of double play customers. So we're refilling that bucket with other double plays. The major changes from a negative perspective are single play. Part of that, again, is moving them to double or triple play. But our single play is our highest churn. It is most susceptible to competition. And interestingly enough, in the limited number of U-verse markets where we have competition, a lot of times they target single play customers.
I'd also mention you know, we've continued to focus on trying to drive new double play sales with internet and phone. Historically, as we've mentioned before, customers have kind of looked at the world and said, I'm either a satellite customer or I'm a cable customer. And we're trying to educate folks that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. And we have, as I mentioned, we have some 1.3 million homes that we already have an investment in passing those homes that we have no customer relationship with. So it's a good opportunity to add extremely high gross margin business into homes we pass that we currently have no relationship. So while we'd love to have triple play customers, having double play that look like internet and telephone customers is still a great business for us.
Great. And just one quick follow-up. I mean, do you have any idea of the single plays that you lose that you're not upgrading? You know, I presume a large portion are going to satellite. Are they taking data? Are those customers effectively moved to be double play customers with the satellite companies? Do you have any guesstimate as to how that works?
I would say if they're not taking they're a single play customer, so obviously they're not taking data from us. So they either are not taking data at all, or they're taking it already from a telephone company.
Got it.
So, you know, when they move over, I'm presuming they're staying the same.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. Your next question comes from the line of Michael Bernard with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, thanks. Can you comment on any major retrans negotiations on the horizon?
We were through a really short cycle at the end of 2009. We did not have a major amount of retrans activity. I would characterize the end of 2010 as probably a medium year. We have, off the top of my head, I know of three significant retransmission consent agreements that will be expiring, really only one of which has what I would deem to be a significant number of subscribers. So the end of 2010, again, is a medium year. It's not going to be like it was for us at the end of 2008.
At the end of 2008, 84% of our agreements came up for renewal.
And those typically have three-plus year renewals, so we have a long window still for them.
Great, thanks. And just a quick follow-up. Can you clarify the call schedule on the second lien tranche? Is it 102 dropping to 101 in May?
Yes.
Thanks.
That's correct.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for your interest. We appreciate your continued investment with us, and we look forward to continued good results for 2010. Thanks.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.